you simply give it like mechanical, technical parts.
I'm not going to be able to elaborate further.
No, 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 no. The same. Now you give it devotion.
Om Gyanati Marandasya Gananjana Savakaya Chakshon Militam Vena Tasmai Shigra Vena Mahamukam Karoti Vachanam Pangam Bangayate Gayo Yat Kripata Maham Vandeya Shigra Nivatarana Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Mutule Srimate Bhakti Vidanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswate Devi Gauravani Pacharanini Vishesha Sanyavari Pasachade Satarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaurava Bhakta Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
So I had requested Bhakti Vijayapurna Maharaj to explain some of the, as he called it, the mechanistics. But I think it was deeper than that, of acceptance of sannyas. And he has given us a lot of background behind the proper state of consciousness that one should have upon accepting sannyas. Ultimately, or as he said, the consciousness is that of indifference. And of course, that means indifference towards anything within the material world. And he also emphasized the ultimate necessity of always being fixed. Smartavya satatam vishnu smartavya nijatu chit. To always being fixed in the consciousness of the Lord, that the Supreme Lord must always be remembered, must never be forgotten. All the rules and all the prohibitions of the scriptures are meant to be the servants of these two principles. So, I'll speak just briefly. I would like to speak just to cover maybe or to give, I feel, what might be a relevant instruction, both learned through my years of having formally accepted the sannyasa ashram, and my understanding of the consciousness that one should have after accepting sannyasa ashram. And I'll, as I said, speak briefly on this point, and I think it would be something relevant for our sannyas initiate, as well as for everyone who is present to understand this principle. Maharaj quoted one verse spoken by the Yuvanti Brahman, which Lord Chaitanya himself recited when he was traveling throughout Radha Desh after accepting the renounced order of life. He would quote this verse, Etang sa astaya paratma nishtam, that I shall cross over the insurmountable ocean of Neshus by firmly taking shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna. And this was approved by all the previous acharyas, who also themselves fully had taken shelter of the Supreme Lord, Paramatma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya recited that verse. Srila Prabhupada also requested the devotees, upon taking sannyas, to recite that verse every day, and emphasize that the essence is the paratmanishta, which is taking full shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord Mukunda. It's interesting to note that this verse was recited by the Avanti Brahmin, Maharaj gave us a little summary of who the Avanti Brahmin was, that he was actually a Brahmana who was a very wealthy merchant, and but was very miserly, lusty, greedy, very disrespectful towards his family members, and really very much absorbed in his own wealth, and would not care even for his own family members. In due course of time, by the arrangement of the Supreme, by Providence, also by the arrangement of so many other factors, all of his wealth was taken away from him. And his family totally rejected him. And he suffered greatly as a result of realizing all the sins that he had committed. And gradually what happened through that process of suffering and remembrance of the will of the Lord in having lost everything, he remembered the Lord and became grateful for all the Lord had done to him, for taking everything away and putting him in that totally helpless condition. So total renunciation had actually awakened within his heart. And then internally, he was completely in this renounced state and began wandering throughout the tract of land as a sannyasi, renunciate. And as Maharaj also said, that as a sannyasi, he was subjected to all kinds of criticism. Not just criticism, I mean...
I already mentioned the microphone.
You mentioned how the boys would make fun of him and harass him. But in fact, this whole story was told by Krishna to Uddhava. When Uddhava asked, you know, the question, you know, how does a person deal with insult? How does a person deal with being, with not only insulted, but harassed and hurled all kinds of abuses? And the Lord Krishna told the story of the Avanti Brahmin to answer that question. So he had accepted externally, not only externally, but internally, accepted the renounced order. And you would think that having accepted the renounced order, then all of a sudden he would become respected. Because generally that's what we think, that when one accepts the renounced order of life, and Prabhupada even said that he was giving sannyas to his disciples, because when you have respect, you can preach effectively. And even Lord Chaitanya himself accepted sannyas because he was thinking that, well, I've come to deliver Krishna prema. What is it? The medicine Pipalikandra is supposed to remove mucus, but somehow it's having the opposite effect. You know, I've come to deliver the whole world, but when his own students were coming and they were finding fault with him for chanting the names Gopi Gopi, he was thinking within his heart that, you know, maybe I should take sannyas so that they'll respect me. So even Lord Chaitanya took the sannyas ashram, although, as you know, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not required. And that's a whole story in of itself. especially in the conversation with Gopinath Acharya, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and how Gopinath Acharya had to convince Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya that Lord Chaitanya is not in any ways dependent upon any kind of external dress or designation. But nonetheless, the principle is there of respect. But the complete opposite happened, that this Avanti Brahmin was wandering about and he was totally mistreated. People would say that he just adopted that external dress because he couldn't make it. And he thought they were criticizing him and insulting him and mistreating him. And as Maharaj said, he just gave the light version of the things they did to him, such as he would go around and collect food, and whatever small amounts of food he would collect, he would put it before himself, offer it to the Lord, and take it, and then people would come and urinate on the food. And they would tie him up, bind him with chains, and other activities, probably unmentionable. In that state, or in those circumstances, not only, of course, was he internally renounced, and although he had adopted the external dress, he completely rationalized by his full dependence on the Lord of how all these things are, as Mark said, indifferent. I mean, this was his indifference. Respect may come, insult and abuses may come, but he was totally indifferent. And why was he so indifferent? And then he quoted this verse, Etang sa staya paratma nishtam vyasatam pura. Quoted every day. Right. Yeah, right. Always happens.
It's because it's always on the internal, not on the external.
You're right. I don't really say it. Yeah, yeah. I don't quote it. So he said, I shall cross over the insurmountable ocean of nations by being firmly situated in the service of the lotus feet of Lord Mukunda. And as we said, Lord Chaitanya was chanting this verse while he was, after taking sannyas, traveling throughout Radha Desh, and very much absorbed in the mood of sannyas as that which was displayed by the Avanti Brahmin. Now, it's interesting to note, as we said, that this Avanti Brahmin took shelter in this verse and this whole song of the Avanti Brahmin because of this mistreatment. And in a conversation, is it? Conversations between Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Lord Chaitanya, actually. When Lord Chaitanya came before Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and he asked him to please give him suitable instructions, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the first thing he asked him is, why did you take sannyas? And he said, actually, taking sannyas means that now you become very proud. Because you've adopted this dress of a sannyasi, you'll think, you don't have to offer obeisances to anybody. Everyone will offer obeisances to you. They'll respect you. And you'll be so proud and so arrogant that you won't even think you have to offer obeisances back to anyone else. You'll just accept. And then he quoted a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam which states that actually that sannyasi should have offer obeisances to all the super soul in the heart of all living entities, and she should even be offering obeisances to the dogs, to the lower animals, to the lechas and sudras. And now everyone's going to come and offer obeisances to you. Why have you done this to yourself? Why would you do such a thing? That was Sarvabhauma's first statement to Lord Chaitanya when he was instructing him. So, our understanding, and as Prabhupada said, also in the commentary to the verse quoted in the Bhagavatam, Puratma Nishtha, he says sannyas is not simply a change of dress. It is a change of consciousness. And he quotes the verse, Nashrita Kama Pala Kaya Kama Karoti Cha Sa Sanyasi Se Yogi Cha Nanda Ragni Na Chakraya. That one who works as is obligated in the renounced order of life, and he is the true mystic, not he who lights no fire, performs no work. Prabhupada quoted that verse to explain that actually it's the consciousness which is sannyas, and it is not the change of dress. In other words, conversely, one can change dress and not be sannyas. Therefore, changing the dress is just simply an external formality, that the essence is to be engaged fully in the service of the Lord, Mukunda, by which one can cross over the insurmountable ocean of nations. And therefore, although when one takes sannyas, there is respect offered, one should always understand that as soon as he thinks this disrespect is for me, he's fallen. One should never think that this respect is for me. This respect is for the service of the Supreme Lord, Mukunda. And this is real renunciation. If everything is to be offered to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, Mukunda, he must see that every opportunity that is given him to serve the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, Mukunda, is that I will accept that respect as an opportunity to serve the Supreme Lord. Therefore, never accepting it for himself and being completely renounced in his spirit of indifference, whether respect is there, whether not, no respect is there. The sannyasi is one whose only interest is to serve the Supreme Lord. And therefore, he will accept that respect as an opportunity to help others by his own example, by his own internal renunciation, and by his willingness to preach under all circumstances, whether respect or no respect. The sannyasi is, Prabhupada would oftentimes state, he is fearless, and he's not dependent upon external formalities in the execution of his service to the Supreme Lord. So indifference, I really appreciated this point that Maharaj was making. Indifference means whether I'm comfortable or whether I'm not comfortable. Whether I'm respected or whether I'm not respected. Whether I'm happy or whether I'm not happy. Indifference means, under all circumstances, my responsibility, my duty, is to be fully engaged in the service of the Supreme Lord and in the service of my spiritual master, in fulfilling his mission, which is to, in all circumstances, be transcendental to the happiness and distresses of this material world, and to be tolerant of all obstacles that will be placed on one's path, although it may not be as severe as that which is experienced by the Avanti Brahmin. Nonetheless, there will be many obstacles in the execution of this service. And the greatest obstacle that one needs to overcome is, as Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya warned Lord Chaitanya, is to become proud and to think that I am now sannyas. I am on the highest platform. I should be given respect. I should be given service. Actually, we should think I deserve nothing. I simply want only the opportunity to serve. That is Paratma Nishtha. And that should be the consciousness that will carry us through. As this Vanti Brahman says, it'll enable us to cross over the insurmountable ocean of nescience and to be fixed at the lotus feet of the Lord. This renunciation was proved, and Lord Chaitanya himself said, gave the example that the highest platform of renunciation was found in the attitude of the gopis of Vrindavan. They were ready to do anything for the service of the Supreme Lord, to accept criticism, chastisement, whatever social condemnation would come. Their renunciation, Lord Chaitanya specifically held them to be the highest. And that is the mood which the sannyasi has, and that is his meditation, which he performs every day in his worship of the Lord, is the mood of the gopis for renunciation from this world. So, this is my humble submission to the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas who are assembled. And I humbly pray that you bless me, that one day I may become sannyas and be a fit example for Prabhupada Das, who is today accepting the renounced order of life and being given this opportunity to serve his spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, in this mood. And I've known Prabhupada Das for many years, all the way back to the first days when I joined the movement. Prabhupada Das was living nearby the temple, and I could tell many stories, but I guess they could leave certain impressions which may not be conducive to the events. Thank you, Maharaj, for protecting me. But I will say one thing. Many of you may not know that Prabhupada Das met Srila Prabhupada 1966 in 22nd Avenue, when Prabhupada Das used to go there sometimes in a state of mind not conducive for spiritual life. But nonetheless, Prabhupada was very kind and merciful to him, and left such an impression, that compassion that Prabhupada had, left such an impression that 10 years later, Prabhupada Das could not forget it, even though he tried. And 10 years later, when he was living near the by the Boston Temple, he had business. And
9 years.
9 years?
10 years initiation, 9 years joining.
Oh, 9 years joining. Okay. 9 years.
Not so long.
Prabhupada Das had a furniture business. Zeke's Furniture. And I guess this is one story I'll tell. I was a brahmachari then. And my temple president, our temple was very desperate for money. And the temple president was thinking that maybe I should let Naranjana work for Prabhupada Das, because Prabhupada Das offered, if you send somebody, I'll pay them and all the money can go to the temple.
The temple was going to be 50% partner. Just paying.
Yeah. Temple's going to get a lot of money. So I went. The first day, and the type of personalities that used to work with his business were just not really the best association. And I don't remember exactly, maybe you remember, but I do remember that Tridas had received a letter from Prabhupada when I was initiated, and Prabhupada told Tridas, he said, you have to take good care of me, Neil, he said, at time of initiation, you have to take good care of him, please take good care of him. And Tridas was feeling guilty that Prabhupada told him to take good care of me, and here he was putting me working with these people. So after one day, he said, forget it. You can't work with him anymore. And that was it. I had worked one day, literally.
Now no one can say he's not worked one day in his life.
It was very nice while it lasted.
He's thinking this justifies everything. If I could have somebody like from the temple working in my business and I could do it, and you know, he was thinking it was
combining spiritual and all.
Yeah, combining the spiritual with the material. One day. One day. And then, not long afterwards, Prabhupada Das, one year later, left his family, left a wife, his wife, left son that was, I can't remember how it was, just a few months old, wasn't he?
I think things kind of got out of control at a certain point.
For the service of Srila Prabhupada. And in 1970, he moved to the temple and just renounced everything. 75. And from that day on, he's never gone back. He's never looked back. He's just nothing but the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, because he could not forget that impression that Prabhupada had left on him, a deep impression that changed his heart forever. And he was given the name Prabhupada Das. So throughout the years we've always kept contact, and now it's 38 years later, I'm very happy to be a part of this event and to see Prabhupada Das internally accepting this mood of renunciation, which he's already practiced for many years, but now he's formally accepting it and declaring to everyone. It's a public declaration. You're declaring to everyone now. Paratma Nishtha. Now, although you've never turned back, I remember when I took sannyas, Satsri Maharaj told me something that Prabhupada told him. He said, Prabhupada told him when he took sannyas, he says, now, sannyas means that whenever you go and beg, go to the home of a householder to beg or to preach, to serve them, you can never think again I could have had this. He said, finished. You cannot even think. So Prabhupada told that, and he shared that with me when I took sannyas. And I'm sharing it with you. You should never think I could have this or I could have had this. These are Prabhupada's words. So this is your formal declaration and your opportunity to give everything for Prabhupada's service. And I'm very happy, as I said, to take part and feel privileged that you're allowing me to take part in this event. And I ask all the devotees who are present to please give your blessings to Prabhupada Das so that he may become a completely sold-out servant to his spiritual master and perfect his life in this life. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.